Welcome to Head to Head, a Gutai Pravda Assembly production. Hear the latest news and sports from your favorite personalities, Casey.
Don't mess with me, Floyd. I'm like a loaded gun, and there's no safety.
And Floyd.
I spent so much time licking. I waited so long, and then I just had to bite in. And it was a blow pop.
Let's keep it clean, fellas.
Series 1. Wizards. Hawks. Begin.
Alright, man, you've been seeing the series, the Wizards and the Hawks. It's the biggest surprise of the playoffs in the second round so far. Although that's not saying much since there's only been two games played so far. But this has been quite shocking. The Wizards pulled out to an early lead. How did this happen, Floyd?
I personally think this happened because the Wizards are a better team. I think the Wizards have something to prove, and they're going to prove it this series. I think they're going to prove themselves to be an actual championship contender behind the ropes of John Wall. So, look for that.
I don't think so. What can they prove playing against the Hawks? I mean, the Hawks are a decent regular season team, but I don't believe the Hawks are any sort of great shakes when it comes to defeating them in the playoff series. I mean, Brooklyn took two games from them easily. It doesn't really mean anything the Wizards got an early game against them.
Well, I think you're missing the point. The first thing to remember is that the only reason why the Nets won those two games were
because the Hawks are not a good team.
No, it's because of inconsistent play by an injury-ridden Hawks team.
And same thing.
And the thing to remember is that the Atlanta Hawks play a stout defense. They play a good defense, especially a defense that just really works hard. And so the thing to look for is that John Wall, who's been averaging the most assists in the postseason, is going to showcase an excellent offensive performance this series. And you're going to notice that John Wall is going to be a breakout star. He's going to break out again. He's like a teenager with bad acne. He is going to break out, and he's going to break out wild. It's going to be amazing to watch, and he's going to win MVP next season. You heard me.
I don't believe you, and here's why. The Hawks were a decent defensive team. They were sixth in the NBA, but they had a cupcake schedule along with every other team in the East. When you compare that to the blitzkrieg that the Western teams have to face every night. And they had that before Tavo Sefolosha was injured by police brutality, which is something we have to talk about in a different sort of show. But we do acknowledge that Tabo Sefolosha is not on this team at present, which he was a very big presence for that team. He was probably their best perimeter defender, and he brought a palpable three-point shot to the outside that really spaced out the offense when Damari Carroll took a seat on the bench. So without that, you know, shot in the arm from the bench, this Hawks team is not the same. You can't use those regular season numbers in this context, because this isn't the same at all.
You most certainly can use the same numbers. I mean, just one player does not make
the
a defense.
The best defensive player on this team. The Hawks are a shell of their former selves.
The Hawks are not a shell. They're playing well, and they're showcasing good offense as well as defense. The Hawks are actually a better offensive team than they are a defensive team, and they have good shooting, they have a good inside game, and they're going to show that the Wizards are actually a good team when they beat the Hawks.
No, because the Hawks aren't that great of a team now. And the Wizards, they had a cakewalk through the first round, not because they're a good team, but because they're playing the dumpster fire that is the Toronto Raptors. I've already dumped on the Raptors enough. They're a sad sack team. I don't know how they even got into the playoffs. They probably don't deserve it. Lou Williams getting the Sixth Man of the Year award, that probably was undeserved as well. And they totally collapsed in the playoffs, and it was like a magic carpet ride for the Wizards. See what I did there? Straight to the second round. And in this round, they're getting the breaks again. They're getting a depleted Hawks team that looked shaky against a terrible Brooklyn Nets team. Whoever comes out of the series, they're not going to have any shot against the winner of the Cavs Bull series. This is just, it's, the East is a dumpster fire in general, and I can't say that this series will prove anything one way or another.
I'm going to tell you one thing that I think is important to remember, is that even if you consider the fact that the Eastern teams have easier schedules than the Western teams, the Hawks still won 60 games. They won 60 games. That includes teams that they played in the East and the West.
I could win 60 games in the East.
Maybe an NBA 2K, but not you personally. I'm sorry. You just don't have the skills.
With my two bare hands, I could.
Anyways, the Wizards, if they win this series, could definitely beat the winner of the Cavaliers and the Bulls series. And this is why. John Wall is why. He's so good. He can make assists. He can shoot it. He's making amazing layup shots, but his shooting is a bit questionable at the moment. But he's definitely a good driver, and he can pass it like nobody else can.
No, this series is not going to be as easy as you think it is going to be for the Wizards, because Bradley Beal's hurt badly. I think he has a sprained ankle, which isn't easy to get over, especially in a couple days, to be back for game two. So Bradley Beal breaking out was a big reason why the Wizards even put up such good numbers against the Hawks in game one. Without him being at full, you know, at his full potential, I don't think the Wizards are even going to be, you know, good enough to win maybe the next two games. So I really don't even see him getting past this round. And if they do, it's still to a Hawks team that is playing much less than 100% right now.
Series 2. Grizz. Warriors. Go!
I think this will make a fantastic Cinderella story for the Grizzlies. I think they can truly take control and destroy the Warriors where they stand. Even after that...
No! No, that's not believable.
Of course,
man.
It's believable. I mean, the Grizzlies can beat the Warriors even after that game one loss.
You have me chuckling out of my trousers with that one, man. No, that's laughable. Did you hear me laughing? I was laughing and I didn't even get joy from it because it was just too laughable.
I don't believe you. Tell me, why is this so funny?
Okay, first of all, because the Warriors are clearly the better team. They've got the pace and space offense. They've got a defense consisting of like four 6 foot seven guys with 7 foot wingspans. They swarm inside. They play excellent perimeter defense, and they run the ball like crazy. This is a horrible matchup for the Grizzlies, and if game one was any indication, this is going to be a sweep, no problem. Especially if Memphis is lacking Mike Conley.
One of the reasons why the Warriors are so good is because of their ability to run the fast break. And that comes from a perimeter defense that causes a lot of turnovers. But what you aren't going to see from a seasoned roster from the Grizzlies is a lot of turnovers. You may not have right now the workings of Mike Conley because he's injured, but you still have a fairly good bench that's not going to turn the ball over really easily. So I don't
know. Who has a better bench? The Warriors? No, that argument's invalid, man. And the Warriors don't turn the ball over very easily either.
I'm not saying the Warriors are going to turn the ball over, and I'm not saying that the Grizzlies are going to win the turnover game. But if the Grizzlies can win the rebound game and get some more loose balls, then this can definitely become a competitive series.
No, there aren't going to be any loose balls in this series, man. All the shots that the Warriors are going to take are going to go straight through the hoop. It doesn't matter if they rebound or not. This series has been over ever since Mike Conley got out of his surgery. I mean, even if they had Mike Conley, they just don't have the perimeter firepower necessary to keep up with the Golden State Warriors. I mean, sure, the Memphis Grizzlies probably have an advantage inside, but Draymond Green can counter that easily with his outside shooting on the offensive end. Plus, when they're trying to post up inside, the Warriors can just double-team him and make him kick it out to a subpar three-point shooter. So they don't have to worry about much.
They aren't going to be able to just use Draymond Green as their outside perimeter shooter all game. They're going to have to somehow go to some other offensive threat. And what's going to happen when they realize that the perimeter defense of the Grizzlies is tougher than they realize is that the pool is going to be closed for the summer and the Splash Bros are not going to be let in the facility. You heard me. They aren't going to be ready.
That's all right. The Splash Brothers have their own slip and slide. They don't need your facility, man. They can shoot the ball from anywhere. They could shoot it from outside the arena if they need to. They'll splash it from anywhere. That's what they're called, the Splash Brothers, man. They're not even at a swimming pool, and they're still splashing like crazy. Get that out of here.
So what's going to happen is that the Warriors have been played with their own game. Everybody tries to beat the Warriors. They realize that, oh wow, this team scores a lot of points. They think, okay, I have to score a lot of points. But that's just not what's going to happen. The Grizzlies are going to control the time. They're going to control the time. They're going to slow down the clock. They're going to use the shot clock to their advantage, and they're going to back the Warriors into their own death pit of fury, and they're going to dunk it on them with their two-man punching squad of Zebo and Marc Gasol, and they're going to destroy the Warriors as they are.
We'll see, Floyd.
Series 3, Cavaliers, Bulls. Let's begin.
All right, Floyd, this is the series we've all been looking forward to talking about. It's the Bulls and Cavaliers, a mashup of a pretty talented defensive-oriented squad with an offensive punch from the big men versus another team that likes to run and shoot three-pointers that LeBron, you know, likes to orchestrate. Who do you see coming out of this as the victor?
Well, I think you should look at something that's pretty interesting. LeBron is 3-0 against the Bulls in the playoffs. Now, you may try to use that as an argument, but I'm going to tell you why that's not going to happen this time. LeBron is about to go 3-1. Why? Because he is playing a Bulls team that's better than ever. They have, going against Kyrie, they have the new resurging Derrick Rose. He is about to destroy and explode into relevance.
I haven't seen an explosion from him yet, man. Unless he gets a cyborg kneecap that protects him from all future injuries, and he gets like basketball instincts that we've never seen from him before. Kyrie's obviously going to outplay him in the series.
That's not going to happen this time, and you want to know why? Because the head coach of Derrick Rose is DeJuan Blair. Yes, no kneecaps himself has been coaching Derrick Rose on how to play with no left leg. And we will see that come out in this series. More importantly, I would like to bring up the best matchup from this series, which is going to be LeBron and Jimmy Butler. My man, Jimmy Butler, who's going to showcase to everyone that he is the best player in the Eastern Conference.
Okay, that is a step too far, because LeBron James,
he is the best defender, and he's going to show up everybody in that arena.
Even the fans? I don't think so.
Even the fans. He's going to showcase that he is the best defender in the world.
Yeah, you remember what happened when Ron Artest bad boys, what you gonna do? Tried to do that? No, that's gonna be a bad situation.
He elbowed someone in the face, I think.
Yeah, dude.
That was James Harden.
Oh yeah, that was back when he played for Oklahoma City, wow.
Dude, yeah, he elbowed James Harden in the face.
That was before James Harden even deserved that elbow. Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Yeah.
But no, this is the reason why Jimmy Butler is not gonna reveal himself to be the best player in the East. And the reason is because he is not. He has one Mr. LeBron James to contend with here. And he is the best defender in the league. You look at the stats. Jimmy Butler, He's 6'7" with the high top fade. Not counting that, probably 6'6". LeBron James is a robust 6'8". That's what I like to see in my man.
That's 2 inches.
2 inches is all you need, son. 2 inches is the difference between a cold hard slam dunk and getting rejected by the rim, man. 2 inches is the difference between her pleasure and her pain. So don't tell me that 2 inches is nothing to sneeze about, because for your information, I took my allergy meds. I ain't sneezing today. LeBron James is the better player. I don't care how old he is. He could be in a rocking chair and still school Jimmy Butler or Paul George or whatever kind of two-bit small forward you want to throw in there from the East. Terrence Ross, no, get that out of here. I'm not even entertaining that option.
Jimmy Butler has some of the quickest footwork of any player in the NBA. He has a great lateral movement. And he is going to show LeBron up. He is going to block shots. He is going to run over LeBron. And he is going to not pull back when he takes that three. He is going to run over LeBron, back over him again, run over him again, and then turn left at the stop sign. He's going to have no regard for life, and he is going to be shooting balls every day.
Okay, he sounds an awful lot like Dexter, but no, let me ask you a question. Do you block shots with your feet?
Yes.
You were talking about his footwork. No, you do not block shots with your feet, my good sir. You block them with your hands, which you stick up from your torso. And guess who has the torso that is situated higher up? And the Y plane, or is it the Z plane? It doesn't matter. It's situated higher up. LeBron James is gonna easily dominate him. You can't block LeBron James with a 6'6", 6'7" body. And he does have long arms.
Bruce Bowen did it.
Okay, Bruce Bowen is a hack fraud, and he needs to get that shit out of here. I don't want to talk about Bruce Bowen all day. Why am I even talking to you about Bruce Bowen? Get that out of here. It hurts my head to even think about Bruce Bowen right now. No, we're talking about games that are being played in this century.
Not even considering the battle between LeBron and Jimmy Butler, the Bulls are going to outmatch the Cavaliers. And I'm going to tell you why. Right now, the two of the four best offensive threats for the Cavaliers, J.R. Smith and Kevin Love, are out, both for very different reasons. LeBron is not very happy with J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith is going to come back, though.
After two games.
Although J.R. Smith deserves being suspended, man. He took my man Jay Crowder out. He did not deserve that. He deserves some kind of...
Talk about being hit in the face,
though. Deserves the Kelly Olynyk penalty himself, man. You don't touch my man Jay Crowder like that. I am furious.
The Cavaliers are out two of their best four scorers. And then who are they going to have to call up? They're going to have to call up Timofey Mozgov and Iman Shumpert.
Iman Shumpert?
A guy who was kicked from the Knicks.
Oh, don't doubt the power of Iman Shumpert. Yeah, he was traded for draft picks and stuff, Floyd. Don't ignore that. He wasn't just kicked off of the Knicks, man.
The Cleveland Cavaliers, who are going to have a good enough record that they're not going to give good picks at all.
Well, I mean, he was pretty much an expiring contract, but you look at Iman Shumpert, his hair could beat up Jimmy Butler's hair any day of the week. Don't even consider that argument. And you look at Timofey Mozgov, he's going against a half-potential Joakim Noah. He's at half strength right now. I don't think I've seen him jump in a coon's age, honestly. I don't think he can even bend his knees. So the one person I am scared of is Nikola Mirotic. That guy can flat out ball, but I think he's injured too. I think all the Bulls are secretly injured. I think Tom Thibodeau just beats them after every game because that's the way he likes his players. That's how he toughens them up. You look at the Bulls, they have a history of being a tough team. And the reason is Thibodeau, he makes them play with injuries that he's caused to them. Poor Derrick Rose has had the brunt of it, man.
The Cavaliers are going to have foul trouble with Timofey Mozgov because Paul Gasol is going to show him up. You're going to have Joakim Noah and Paul Gasol who are going to show up. And with Jimmy Butler at the height of his excitement, he is finally realizing that he is the best player in the Eastern Conference. He's finally saying, you know what? I'm too good for this. I'm so young. I'm so talented. He's going to run all over the Cavaliers and there's going to be nothing they can do about it.
Joakim Noah has no postgame. Don't even say that he's going to show up, Timofey Mozgov. He couldn't show up a potato. Plus, like, Timofey Mozgov, I guess he doesn't really have a center backing him up, does he? Brendan Haywood, maybe? He's not a legitimate player. I refuse to even mention that Brendan Haywood's in the NBA anymore. He's pretty much a carcass. He's like the corpse bride, so to speak, except he's not a woman. That was a bad analogy. But the point rings true. They have a dead player on their bench. So they're playing like Tristan Thompson as their backup center. And he's like, what, 6'8", 6'9"? They do have an issue there, especially if Mozgov gets into foul trouble. But I don't think the Bulls have the inside presence that you boast that they possess.
I think what it comes down to is with Jimmy Butler, with Nikola Mirotic, with Pau Gasol, and with Joakim Noah, this series is going to play out right into the hands of the Chicago Bulls, and the Cavaliers are not going to be able to do anything about it.
No, as long as LeBron has his way, he can defend any player on the court. He's not worried about any young buck, Jimmy Butler, trying to make a name in the NBA playoffs. He's not scared of Jimmy Butler. He's taken him on before. He's had, you know, a decent time against him. He's not scared. He's 30. He has a savvy to his game that Jimmy Butler just can't counter. And he can block anyone's shot with his hops. I think, you know, LeBron holds the defense together. And the Cavs just, they barely push past the Bulls. 6 or 7 games. Mark it down. That's how the series goes.
I have to disagree. I think the Bulls have the better team. I think they have the better shooting squad. I think they have a better chance at holding on to the ball. And while they may not have a better transition offense, they certainly have a better transition defense. And I look to see the Chicago Bulls in 7.
Floyd, your optimism is a beautiful thing.
Series 4. Clippers, Rockets, fight.
The number one offensive team, the Los Angeles Clippers, is going to win this series.
Now what makes you say a thing like that, Floyd?
They have, they're playing against a team that, while having James Harden, who should have won the MVP this season, is way less methodical than the Spurs were. The Clippers are going to breathe a sigh of relief when they realize that, oh yeah, they're not going to pass it to that extra person who's wide open. Instead, they know who they're going for. They know who's going to score. They know who the passes are going to. And they know that they don't have to worry because the Rockets are a much less methodical offense. So the Clippers are not going to be nearly as tired in this series chasing after that second and third and fourth and fifth extra pass. They're going to be a lot more happy.
Sometimes, Floyd, though, you don't need a method. All you need is James Harden and Dwight Howard. You look at it this way. You know, Spurs, they had a method. That's cute. That's right. I mean, Greg Popovich is over there coloring on his little playbook with his crayons. Man. That's an ideal play, isn't it? Too bad they couldn't execute well enough. You know who can execute in any situation, anytime? James Harden. He can just, you know, shoot off the dribble. He can, you know, he doesn't need a play. He can just drive inside, get the foul, you know, make 2 foul shots. I think he has, you know, well above 90% free throw percentage. And Dwight Howard on the other end, he's a game breaker. I mean, sure, you know, Blake Griffin could dunk on, say, Aaron Baines and Tiago Splita. I don't know if he can dunk on Dwight Howard. It's a little bit more intense.
If James Harden spent as much time working on Dwight Howard's free throw shot than he does on his beard, then their team would be so much better. They would score 10 points a game more, I promise you. But this is where the problem leads into. James Harden, the best offensive threat on the Rockets, has been doing a lot worse when he plays the Clippers. Why is that, you may ask? Because of J.J. Redick, the player who has caused James Harden's field goal percentage to be 38.5%. Whenever James Harden plays the Clippers, something goes wrong. He begins to choke on his facial hair. He begins to think, oh man, was that a fly or was that a little curly cue of black hair? And he's not sure what's happening. JJ Redick, who spends about as much time on his appearance as James Harden does on his beard, is a good defender. He's quick, he's hardy, and he's from Duke University. So you know what? He looks at James Harden, he's like, you know what? Your beard doesn't scare me. I don't fear the beard, because he has the perfectly coiffed curly Q at the top of his head as well. He's like Clark Kent, but without the laser beams in his eyes. But he has the freeze breath, and he is going to freeze James Harden's shot.
It doesn't matter how cold the shot is, man. The free throws will keep falling. He's going to get DeAndre into foul trouble easily, man. As long as he keeps Euro-stepping his way into the lane, they don't have an answer for that. Blake Griffin can't defend the rim. I don't think DeAndre can defend it well enough to stop fouling Harden. And really, JJ Redick, his low percentage against the Clippers, that was probably just a coincidence. Everyone has a bad couple of nights.
If DeAndre Jordan gets into some foul trouble, worst case scenario, they bring in Spencer Hawes, who
cannot protect the rim at all,
is really tall. He could certainly at least be a presence. The important thing to remember
is James Harden's going to eat him for lunch.
The important thing to remember is that James Harden is not going to be playing nearly as well as he normally does. And so who are the Rockets going to have to rely on at the second half of the series when they realize that they're not doing as well as they need to do? They're going to have to rely on who else but Brick Howard. And they aren't going to be ready. Brick Howard, his muscles are so big he can't even scratch his back. He has a person on staff that he constantly uses to wash his own back. His jersey is always soiled with his back sweat, and he just can't reach there to get that itch that's always itching there. And you know what's itching there? Is his ability to win games and make free throws. He's got that little itch. He doesn't know what's going on.
You know what? I'm not worried about that, because every time you hack Dwight, the Rockets are just gonna hack DeAndre. It's gonna even out. Plus, I'm pretty sure Dwight can shoot the free throw better than DeAndre. He's gonna win that contest 9 times out of 10. Trust me. He's been shooting it actually decently this offseason, or this postseason. So, no, don't give me that. Brick Howard, don't call him that. His name is Dwight, and he's here to make free throws. Calling it now.
Even with those matchups being what they are, I still trust Blake Griffin to destroy Terrence Jones. Terrence Jones is like a bad case of the herpes. It comes back and you just don't want it to. It comes back at the worst times. You have a nice job interview, too bad, herpes. And then you got that shot coming up, too bad, Terrence Jones. You ain't going to have any problem there. Blake Griffin is going to shoot. Blake Griffin is going to dunk. Blake Griffin is going to pass. Blake Griffin is going to dribble past Terrence Jones, who's just going to sit there with his weird looking face, thinking, you know what, maybe I should have gone to college.
Wow. Okay, first of all, Terrence Jones doesn't need college. He's already a very intelligent young man on his own. Thank you very much. And, you know, besides, the Blake Griffin versus Terrence Jones matchup has the same issues that the Draymond Green versus Zach Randolph matchup had. I don't think Blake Griffin's that great of a perimeter defender, and Terrence Jones can really burn him on the three-point line.
Blake Griffin is essentially a larger LeBron James. He's recently been working on his dribbling, and he's actually a lot more explosive than you give him credit for. He's fast, he has pretty good ball handling, and he's actually a pretty good player overall. But the one thing we can't ignore is the bench, and I actually think that with Jamal Crawford and JJ Redick shooting the ball, they're going to have an amazing chance at just destroying the Houston Rockets.
Nope. Jamal Crawford, he's iffy at best. JJ Redick, though, you can always count on him. He's one I'm worried about. But you know who I'm not worried about in the first couple games? Chris Paul. Yeah, no, he looks like he's down for the count. And he had a heck of a game against the Spurs. You know, he gutted it out. He willed that ball into the bucket, and he moved him on to the next round. But I don't think he has much left in the tank. He's got a real bad hamstring injury. And, you know, if they're relying on their backup point guard play, which is, who's their backup point guard? Austin Rivers? No, thank you.
Austin Rivers has been playing well, though. He's been doing a good job.
He had one good game. You know, he's like Jamal Crawford, except instead of, like, having a good game, you know, once every three games, he has a good game, like, once every 42 and a half games. It's, yeah. Yeah, no, you can't depend on Austin Rivers, you know, bailing you out of games like you can James Harden. James Harden can bail you out of the Titanic if he needs to. This is a man that will not stop. No injury can, you know, hold him back. No post player is going to block a shot without fouling him. I don't think they need a complex offense to really just blow this Clippers team away, especially if they're missing their main man, Chris Paul.
You know, I'm going to have to start checking to make sure you don't have a serious case of the Terrence Jones, because what you're saying right now is crazy. You're telling me that the reason why the Clippers are going to do bad is because Chris Paul is injured. But if we look at the other side of the court, if we look at who's playing at point for the Houston Rockets, we see Jet Terry, and he's nowhere near the landing strip. He's just flying around. He's not cleared for takeoff. He's already in the air. He doesn't know what's going on. And he's just not anywhere near as good as any of the guards on the Clippers.
But he's got a hell of an in-flight movie on right now. He's got the honey roasted peanuts going. You can ask him for some. He won't stiff you. He's still got his three-point shot, and he plays, you know, pretty good defense for a really old 6'3" man with a tiny head. He's still going to outplay Austin Rivers 9 times out of 10. And, you know, James Harden can play well enough to just will his team through. Without Chris Paul willing the Clippers through, I don't think this is an even series, and the Rockets take it in 7.
This series is just going to end like I expect it to. The Clippers are going to win in six, and the Rockets are going to shoot off. They're cleared for takeoff finally, but you know what's going to happen? They're going to land on the moon, and they're not going to have any oxygen masks. They are going to die a crippling death with nobody there, not even their families, and they're not going to be able to shoot hoops till their last breath.
Bonner, he's only on a basketball team because, like, everyone just likes him as a person. Floyd